mine is. Purpose of placing this plunger under the waste of the fishing for the lateral. Make sure the spine is parallel to the IR, or parallel to the tip.
Okay, what's parallel
to the IR? The reason for using a sponge on the lateral is to ensure that the sponge is parallel to the tip, or the IR.
Oh.
Spine.
Spine
should be parallel.
It's not to equalize density?
The purpose of the spine is to make the spine parallel.
To equalize density? No.
Okay. You want to raise the body that's kind of sagging down so the spine will be parallel. Okay, what's unique about the thoracic vertebrae? They all articulate with the ribs. And a sharply pointed spinous process on the picture. Sharply pointed spinous process, and they articulate with all the ribs. And number five. The joint that's formed by the articulation of the body of the vertebrae and the head of the rib. Costo vertebral. Costo vertebral. Okay, number six, breathing instructions for the lateral T-spine. Breathing technique. When doing the AP thoracic, central ray should be at T7, just like a chest. Xiphoid tip is at the level of T10, T11. Okay, in the lateral T-spine, structure is demonstrated, intervertebral foramen, and the intervertebral disc space.
What you said, bodies, too.
There's a lot to see.
When you say disc space, we're not talking joint space.
It is the joint space. That's what the disc is. That is the joint space.
Alright.
Okay, on the lateral T-spine, sometimes only you can visualize T3 through 12. In addition to seeing T1, you would have to do swimmers. Twining is one type of swimmers. What plane should be parallel to the table when positioned for a lateral?
Mid-sagittal.
Mid-sagittal is right where the spine is, so the spine is sagging. No, it's sagittal. Because the patient's on their side looking away from you. So it's this plane. Right where it's mid-sagittal.
And parallel
is perpendicular? Correct. Okay, the tubercle of the rib articulates with what part of the vertebrae?
Transverse
process. From T1 through T10, correct. The notch is at the level of T2, T3. Purpose of using a lead strip on the tabletop when positioned for a lateral. Eliminate the backscatter.
And to maintain the
Image quality. By reducing scatter.
On number 12, is it a transverse process of there a specific rib?
No.
All the ribs?
All the ribs, yeah. Transverse process.
The facets on the transverse process?
Well, it was 1 through 10.
Yeah,
and there's two articulations with the ribs.
Right.
Okay.
So it's T1 through T10.
Right.
And is the facets on the process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, 15. Extreme thoracic curve. Kyphosis. 16, the vertebral foramina make up the spinal canal. This canal contains
the spinal cord.
Thoracic spine usually done upright or supine?
Upright.
Supine. Usually supine. Some radiologists will want it upright, but you need to know how they want it, because if it's upright, the disc compresses down, so the spine is slightly different that way. And it should be bucky or non-bucky. It should be with the bucky. Go through a watch bar, spinal coach. Okay. A scoliosis series. It's a study that shows, no, it's not scoliosis, abnormal lateral curvature. That's it. Scoliosis is done to demonstrate abnormal lateral curvature. And one of the ways to do it is called the Ferguson method. When you do the Ferguson method, you do an AP, or it could be done PA. You look at your film or your image, and the side that's convex, the patient will stand on a block on that convex side, and then you do another AP or PA. And so you do one image, see which side is convex, the patient stands on a block on the convex side, and then you do another.
So you have only one leg on a block?
One was on the floor, one is standing on a block, so they're offset. So that should theoretically straighten the spine slightly. So if the patient goes to surgery, they know how much to correct the spine.
And what method was it called?
Ferguson.
On page 338, it said that you do two APs or two PAs, so that you can take them for comparison. One is erect and one is recumbent.
That's routine. Some places may do one. So some may do an erect and an upright, but that's not necessarily the right side.
But the Ferguson is always done?
No,
it's just another way to do it.
Ferguson's the most common way of scoliosis. But there's other ways, but that's one of the main ways to do it.
Okay.
So if you hear Ferguson, think scoliosis.
Yeah, I did. And I got an answer, but the answer I got doesn't make sense. So I'm still thinking about it.
You're still processing it.
I'm still processing it.
Okay, 19. We're doing the T-spine, organs of radiosensitivity.
Thyroid breast.
Parathyroid, and the gonads, actually, because you're getting scattered down below. So thyroid, parathyroid, breast, and gonads. Okay, air gap can substitute for a grid.
Yes.
That's true. Two things that can be done to equalize density on the T-spine.
Which?
Okay, use of the anal heel and a wedge filter. Expiration for more uniform density. You can add that to it. Yeah. Expiration.
Suspended expiration?
Expiration. Okay, on the diagram. The very first one, which is the lateral. E is at T1. D is the jugular notch. C is the sternal angle. B is mid-sternum.
Mid-thorax,
it's okay. And A is the xiphoid tip. And way up on the top, at C7. Orbitubal progress.
What's A?
And A is the xiphoid tip. It's about the 10 or 11 levels.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, on the spine, number one is the spinous process. Two is the lamina. Three is transverse process. Four is the pedicle. Five is the body. Six is the vertebral foramina. Seven is the superior articular process. Eight is the inferior articular process. Nine is the costovertebral articular facet.
Nine is the what?
Costovertebral articular facet. That's okay. You got the articulation. Okay, and 10, the last one, is the costotransverse articular facet. 10 is on the image on the lower left.
Lower left? Yeah, facet.
Yeah, for the rib articulation. It's a transverse.
Costotransverse. Are they one and the same or no?
There's two articulations of the rib.
What's 10 again?
One's the costovertebral, one's the costotransverse.
Right.
Nine is the
costovertebral.
Right.
10 is the costotransverse.
Right. But under 10 is the costovertebral, that's the same as the
other. No, there's two separate ones, costovertebral and the costotransverse.
Costovertebral
articular facet.
Or
articulation. Yeah, so we have to have the articulation. Yeah, there's an image that you know that the two separate articulations. One's on the body, one's on the transverse.
One of the other people said that. What grade? No, I already have one. I already had one, and I already had my real.
Yeah, that's worse.
You want one of mine?
All of
them. Right, have different things.
Here's the name Ferguson, think scoliosis. Or if you hear scoliosis, then why, maybe I should give it Ferguson. Remember the Ferguson, you're going to do an APRPA. Check your image. And then you'll do another one with the patient standing on a block on their convex side. That's the Ferguson. Okay, you can also do an APRPA, upright and recumbent on the table. That's probably the simplest way. You know, some physicians may just want that. If they ask for a lateral, you have to take an AP first to see which way the spine is curved, and then the convex side goes against the film, or against the IR. So you have to look at the AP, seeing which way, if it goes to the right or the left. If it's convex on the right, then the right side would go for a right lateral. Okay? And then another way to do it, and some physicians get a lot of orthopods, may want this one. Could be done AP or PA. You get less dose to the patient when you do PA, but it could be done either way. Could be done upright or recumbent. And then you want the patient to bend all the way to the right, bend all the way to the left. That's actually the left. Then to the left, bend to the right. And then they measure the degree that the patient bends. And then sometimes they can go in surgery. They can use some corrective surgery. There's appliances they can apply to try and straighten the spine a little bit. They're doing more and more scoliosis studies on younger kids. Because they think if they can, you know, catch it before it's too far developed, they can actually, you know, improve the spine.
So the Ferguson, did you say that we were supposed to do an AP first on the Ferguson and then see which side the convex is on?
No, not for the Ferguson. You have to do an AP or PA.
Okay.
See which side is convex, and then they stand on a wooden block on the convex side.
These are all the different scoliosis.
So there's all different types of scoliosis series. The Ferguson is probably the one I do the most. But it, you know, it depends who you work for. One radiologist or orthopod may say, this is the one I want to do all the time. You know, they all have their own criteria.
Did you say convex towards them?
Convex toward the film. As a general rule, that's always going to hold. Convex types side toward the thing.
So these are all different.
Those are all different ways of doing a scoliosis series.
Okay.
It should be.
What does? Why is standing on a wooden block? Why can't?
Because that straightens the spine.
Does it have to be wood?
Oh, it doesn't have to be wood.
Oh, okay. Well, they always talk about wood, and I thought maybe there's something about wood.
In fact, I've seen sex use books. Okay. I have books on that either.
Okay, just something to offset it.
You said that the convex side of the spine is spaced closest to the image receptor. We're doing a lateral, right?
For the lateral, yes. Now, on some of these, They'll send patients back, especially when they're young kids, you know, either young kids or when they're teens. They'll send them back for multiple films. So definitely you want to do a lot of collimation, and then definitely you probably want to do a PA because they're coming back and you want to reduce the dose. If they come for a one-time thing, AP is probably not going to be that bad. If it's multiple films that you're doing, do a PA.
And number three, the convex side is closest to the IR.
Yeah, general rule, convex side always toward the IR.
You can erase that map stuff, Terry, if you want.
Okay, we'll do the this is one of the critters you just saw. Okay, the main things to remember about the vertebrae, a lot of this is on the study guide. Those are articulations for the ribs on the vertebrae, you don't have one cervical or the lumbar. And the spinous process is pointed, sharply caudal. Characteristics of the thoracic spine. Yeah. Because you have an articulation with the head right here, and then as it comes up, it articulates the upper part, and then the tubercle articulates. This one's on the body. This one's on the transverse process. Okay, so that will definitely fall. Costocondral, and there's another joint, costocondral transverse. So two articulations with the ribs. This shows it pretty well. Here's the articulation. This is the costocondral. This is a synovial joint, so there's fluid around it. It's fairly movable. Every time you breathe, it moves. When you bend up and down, it moves. And here's the costal transverse. This is a tubercle of the rib articulating right there. It's just the head of the rib. We have two separate articulations moving every time the loop. And here's the, you can see a little bit, there's a little articulation, that vertebrae right there. That would be the genu. Some of the ribs have that, some of them. Okay, this, I don't know, that's a combination of the Okay, if we look at this intervertebral brain, remember when we did the cervical spine? What position was the patient in order for us to see the intervertebral brain? When we get down to the thoracic spine, we're going to do a lateral brain. And we're going to do an oblique to see the Z joints. Okay, so it's going to be different from the cervical spine. So the intervertebral foramen, right here, we're going to see that dust on the lateral.
The space.
The opening.
Okay.
The oval opening right here. Intervertebral foramen. We're going to see that dust on the lateral. The Z joint, which we're seeing right here, there's the Z joint. There's the inferior articular process. There's the superior articular process. There's the articulation. The Z joint is going to be best seen on the oblique. Don't get that mixed up with cervical spine. It's like that. Z joint on the T spine has an oblique.
So it's the exact opposite.
Foramen on the thoracic.
The exact opposite.
Sometimes there's confusion between cervical and thoracic, so just remember they're different as you come down the spine. spines actually rotate slightly, so the symptoms are a bit different depending on how we rotate the tissue. Okay, and this is showing the Z joint. It shows up on the model here a lot better. There's the Z joint right there. It's a little bit hard to see on the actual kind of right now. Very, very,
70 to 75.
Yeah, the oblique that we're going to do on the thoracic is going to be a 70-degree oblique. Actually, we're going to do an anterior oblique. Just know that it's going to be a 70-degree oblique. Order to see the Z joint. The easiest way to do that is have the patient stand in a lateral position, rotate them 20 degrees anterior, and we'll be in a 70 degree oblique position. So start from the lateral, rotate them in from the lateral 20 degrees, now they're standing in a 70 degree oblique. And you're looking at the joints closest to the dome. So what you're doing. Anterior oblique. Joints are closest to the film. So if we do an LAO, we're looking at the left side joint. RAO, the right side joint. So it's going to be 70 degree oblique.
What did you say, anterior oblique?
So we're going to rotate the patient in the anterior position. So it'll be anterior 70 degree oblique position. Side of the state is closest to the IR.
So if you're doing the right anterior, you can see the right side.
Right anterior will show the right side.
Do they ever throw it the other way?
Posterior? It can work before you work.
Well, that one's the angle here. See the upside, right?
No, it needs the downside. Yeah, the normal routine anterior would be the downside. And also, one good thing about this opening, it's not very common. I'm not going to do it that often.
Well, that's weak.
I mean, you have to know all this stuff now if we register, but she's not going to be doing that many. Okay, here's a lateral. And the one on this image right here, there's the oval. What's that oval looking? We're going to see that on the lateral. And if you look on the image right here, there it is right in that area there. That's oval opening. So on the cervical spine, how are we going to position the patient? Thoracic spine, straight flat. I don't like the image they have up here. All we want is the spine. We don't want the chest area. So this is not centered and collimated correctly. We want the spine in the middle of the dome in our collimation or the side. So that's not perfect. It is a good lateral. The ribs are superimposed, and that's what we want, just like our lateral chest. So positioning-wise, it's going to be virtually the same, except we want the patient forward a little bit, so we get just the spine in the middle of the field. And make sure the arms are straight out or up. And I've seen a lot more of the arms are kind of hanging out, and you get soft tissue covering up the upper part of the thoracic spine. Make sure the arms are out of the way. Okay, this is the AP. AP is almost like an AP chest. Very, very similar. We're only going to use 40 inches when we do the spine. We're not going to use any longer distance. We'll be doing this on the table. Although when we do the phantom in the lab, we'll do the phantom upright at 40 inches. It's easier to do the phantom upright. Normally you do the thoracic spine on the table, on the open. Okay, so the X is pointing to T7, that should be in your center. Here's the last rib coming up. This is the 12th rib. So you know this is the 12th thoracic. You always want to make sure you got the junction between the 12th and the first lumbar and part of the lumbar. You don't want to cut it right here at the joint. Okay, so you want the 12th, you want the inner space, and then you want part of the next vertebra. And same on the cervical. You want to see the T1, you want to see the inner space, and you want to see the 7th. This image should be a little bit more penetrated. We're not really penetrating through the heart here well enough to see the spine.
I'm sorry, so
T7
through what?
T7 through L1. Is what should be on the top. Okay, on the lateral, you're not going to see this area up here because your shoulders are too broad. So what would you do up here?
Be the swarmers. Swarmers is going to be a routine of the deep thoracic spine because there's no way to see the spine because of the shoulders. So you can see the middle part and see the lower part of the thoracic. So you can see swarmers here. So what I recommend is when you do your positioning, if you've got a good position on the AP, drop the film down about an inch and a half for the lateral. You'll pick up the very end of the T-spine. And then this one here, even if you cut something off here, you're going to pick up on the swarmers. This one would be breathing technique because we want to bore out the ribs and all the lung markings. The heart's going to be beating, so that's going to be bored out, so that's good. Okay, the landmarks, you guys know the landmarks pretty well. The notches at what level?
C2,
C3, the angle. T4, T5, the xiphoid tip.
T10
to 11. When does it stop the puck?
40
years old. Now, a lot of older people, this is all cartilage down here on the ribs. We'll get into that when we start doing the ribs in a few weeks. But on older people, this becomes calcified. So it's going to look like this is all bone on something around here. The older patients. Which, you know, makes everybody a lot stiffer. You can't move as well as your bone starts off. It's cartilage.
Can't do CPR?
Pretty hard to crack. Okay, this same thing like that. Landmarks and level of the spine. Yeah, this is an actual body with the landmarks. What is E point? C under two problems. That's the 7. B should be T7. A would be the diaphragm. D is the notch.
Expiration
for the EAP. And you do use the notch fairly often for pushing.
What about the obliques? Breathing for the obliques?
Expiration. Okay, as we do the actual positioning, this is probably not the best position of the patient. Why do you think that?
So the spine
is not perfectly parallel. You see a slight sag here, which isn't too bad because as the rays come out, you get a little concave in it. That's not too bad. Ideally, you want the spine parallel. And this sponge actually should be pushed in a little bit more under the rib cage the spine, because it's kind of pushing the spine up in this area, causing not to get more. This would probably be an acceptable image if we did this. But trying to get the spine straight if you can. Yeah, in fact, we'll come up with another one that maybe we did and we got it a lot better. Okay, what's the purpose of this leg right here?
It's scattered.
Don't push the leg in so much that it's touching the patient, because then you'll actually cut off your bones. You want a little bit of a gap there, maybe about an inch.
Inch and a half of slack. Rule of thumb, inch and a half.
Yeah, so approximately inch and a half. Because what you want to do is pick up scatters, come over here, pull that table, and pick it up. And just slide the lead in too far, and then you'll actually cut off the part of the spine. Okay, we'll use the anal heel effect. We're going to get more intense radiation down here in the abdominal area where it's heavier. So we're using the anal heel effect.
Thank you. Are you always going to be laying down when you do like a...
Usually.
A vertical lateral?
Usually, yeah. Being lateral, usually on the
table. Okay.
But remember, in the lab, we're going to use the phantom uprights to see if you can do the phantom uprights.
Okay.
Now, you may go to a place, and the radiologist may want these done upright.
Okay.
But it depends. Usually, they're done recumbent. Not all the time.
So, it's all going to be inches, right?
Yeah.
So, for the oblique, you're standing?
You can do the oblique either way. You can do it on table, you can do it standing.
Okay. And that's 40 inches too.
That would also be 40.
Is there a particular reason why it's normally done recumbent rather than upright? To me, it would be
because
easier.
When you stand, the spine compresses down.
Oh, it has to
so
be curved.
So it's going to be different on the radiograph, on the image.
Sure.
So some physicians, that's how they want it. They want it upright. Other ones want it on the table. Okay, you can do this either on a 14 by 17 or on a 7 by 17. For our routine, it's going to be a 14 by 17, but when we go to the lab, I'm going to have to do this on a 7 by 17. Just so you get used to using that.
We have a 7 by 17. This is the long
long, narrow.
14 by 17.
14 by 17 will be the routine, but we're going to do the sublight rooms over the glasses. And we'll go over all this brush and stuff.
Yes.
Okay, and the AP. On this one, just be careful. Where you have the pillow, if the ray comes out, central ray coming out here, and you grab the spine and it goes through the pillow, you're going to get artifacts from the pillow. Well, sometimes, you know, the stitching. You see, that gets a little bit kind of denser than the rest of the pillow material. So just make sure the pillow is up front under the head. It's not under the neck that far. And that's the image I saw before. Another way to center, if you're trying to get the T7 in the middle, another way to do it is put the top edge of the cassette an inch to an inch and a half above the shoulder, and then bring your central ray wherever it lands, and that should be over T7. Or you can try palpating and find where the T7 is.
Collimation, you're saying helping the collimation.
So you're looking at half the cassette ray?
Yeah, just to be the full length, like we did with six spines, we collimated into approximately 5 inches.
That's true.
And that's the AP. Film should be darker, should be a little more penetrated here for the well. It's not penetrated well enough. I wouldn't say that's a test for the should have a marker on there. I can see a marker. Location ID. You want to make sure there's no rotation. And just like chest, you want to check the joints up here. Make sure there's symmetrical on both sides. Otherwise, they're going to rotate.
So it's just kind of expiration, right?
Expiration. You get a little more uniform density with expiration. Okay, here's a little bit better lateral. Now they got the sponge squished in a little bit more. It's up higher. Now we see it's flying real nice and straight. The problem you're going to have when you try to do this, on average people, it's not going to be a problem. You put a little wedge in there, you can get a nice straight one. Problem's going to be, you get somebody with really broad shoulders, like a weightlifter like me. Then you have trouble because the shoulders are going to go higher, and you've had an angle up here. Or you get somebody with wide hips, and you get a spine, and all of a sudden the spine starts going up this way because hips are wider. So those are going to cause some problems with that. Patients that are kind of not the typical average patient. Okay, if you look down here, it says mid-coronal plane to the central ray, which is really not correct. And if you look on the image, it's not really centering to the mid-coronal plane. So this picture is correct, but the wording is not correct. You want to go posterior from the mid-coronal plane. And this is pretty good right here, where they have here. The mid-coronal plane is actually right here. They're probably about an inch and a half to 2 inches posterior to that, which is a lot better. So kind of ignore that thing down there. No rotation, we want to do just like a chest x-ray, we want to get the ribs superimposed. And that's a good lateral. Here the ribs are superimposed, really nice lateral. When we use the phantom, the way they set the bones in that plastic case, they're a little bit offset. So when we do the lateral, we have to angle the phantom 5 degrees anterior to get a true lateral. I rotate the phantom 5 degrees anterior to the true lateral. Okay, these are the obliques. What's wrong with those pictures? Whoever gets the first gets made.
Central ray.
Not the central ray.
Whoops, he doesn't
have
to go to my
angle's
wrong.
The angle is wrong. Very good.
Seems like
this should be the AP. This is the patient's back. This is an AP oblique. This is the patient's front right here. That's a PA, so these are incorrect. AP oblique. This is a PA oblique. Okay, make sense?
I didn't even see the lettering underneath.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when I first looked at it, I said, well, where's the patient's face? Maybe it's trying to be prepared. Okay, so remember,
it's from the 70s.
Start the patient in a lateral position. Rotate them 20 degrees toward the anterior side. Now we have a 70 degree oblique. Okay, this is an anterior oblique. A 7-degree anterior oblique. Okay, what plane is at 70 degrees?
The
coronal artery. So the coronal plane is going to be at 70 degrees. What is the mid sagittal plane? What is the number of degrees in the mid sagittal plane?
Not 90.
90 would be a lateral.
20.
Mid sagittal plane is forming a 20 degree angle with the film. That's a good registry question. Make sense?
Can you read that again?
Mm-hmm. And the coronal plane is 70 degrees. The mid sagittal plane is 20 degrees in relation to the film. Okay, this is the oblique done upright. Arms are out of the way. Fortunately, with the panel, we're not worried about that. No arms coming down. So is this an anterior or a posterior oblique?
Anterior.
Without reading up, it's up.
Anterior.
So the patient started lateral. He went 20 degrees toward the board. So that's 70 degree anterior oblique. And is it right or left?
It's right.
Yeah, you're right. So that's an RAO.
Pardon? The book is wrong. Says it's an LAO. Okay, page 318. Yeah, there's a patient looks just like this. Yeah, yeah. <laughs> There should be an RAO there. RAO. RAO. Right side of the LAO. But there's some misprints in the book. Yeah. It makes it look a lot more. I have a math book at one time, and almost every math book was incorrect.
Hey, I have the same book.
Okay, and this is the oblique. Like I said, this one is not asked for or requested at that often. They feel a lateral for you to do too.
You said you were saying that this theory is AP, lateral, and
AP, lateral, and three. If you want to look at the foramen on the thoracic, what position would you do?
Lateral.
Look at the Z-joints?
Oblique.
Okay. Upper part of the thoracic? Upper thoracic?
Swivel.
Okay, let me give you the study guide for next Thursday. This is on the lumbar spine. Do next Thursday. Okay, the fourth book will be
Terry, would you please repeat your instructions?
This is due next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
And the workbook, chapter 10, A and B, is on the 16th.
Chapter 10, A and B, on the 16th. What's that?
Chapter 10, what?
A and B, on the 16th.
Next Thursday. Next Thursday.
No, this workbook is due on the 16th.
Okay.
and I don't remember when you said that.
I want all that information.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.